Thank you, Shane. Good morning, listeners, and I hope everyone is safe and well as well out there. A play on words there. Well, of course, might not be much happening in sports on the field, but certainly plenty happening off the field. So let's start with sports headlines from across Australia this 20th day of April 2020. A lot of twos in there. Courier Mail in Brisbane, Sydney snub, Broncos balk at Harbour City switch as they have a contingency plan if the Queensland government refuses to relax border controls in time for the NRL's planned relaunch. That's the same with the Northern Territory News in Darwin. Interesting. Daily Telegraph in Sydney, how 116 club bosses burned through $396 million in 10 years, with some even blaming the current CEO for the explosion in operating costs. Herald Sun in Melbourne, mammoth costs for Western Bulldog star Lachie Hunter revealed as the vice-captain prepares for a multi-game ban from his club as a consequence of his allegedly boozed-up car crash. The Adelaide Advertiser, Mr. Cricket, to be Mr. Fix-It for the Redbacks, with former Star Australian batsman Mike Hussey commissioned to undertake an external review of South Australia's high-performance program following three straight Sheffield Shield spoon wooden losses. The Mercury in Hobart, AFL-style ghost games considered for Tasmanian State League. Restart as AFL Tasmania considers ways to get footy started. The Canberra Times and the ACT. Cost-cutting restructure begins at NRL headquarters. And in the West Australian in Perth, Perth Wildcats star Bryce Cotton considers leaving the NBL after the coronavirus deal cuts his pay by 50%. Well, good luck getting money elsewhere, Bryce. Well, that's the sports headlines across Australia this 20th day of April, as I said. Let's move to our weekly wrap. And of course, cricket. Well, in an all-too-familiar story, Cricket Australia Chief Executive Kevin Roberts has told his staff that the vast majority of them will be stood down for the rest of the financial year on 20% pay. And they've got a skeleton staff there. Approximately 80% of the staff have been told to go on leave, and that includes everyone from community to elite cricket, as well as the national coach of the men's and women's teams, Justin Langer and Matthew Mott. They've been contracted hours have been reduced until the end of the current financial year. If the lucrative test series against India doesn't proceed later this summer, apparently they will lose $300 million in broadcast revenue. And 50% pay cuts are also inevitable for the Australian cricket players, and that could mean that Cricket Australia is facing another pay dispute on the horizon. Interesting to note that the CEO, Kevin Roberts, has already warned Cricket Australia could be out of money in as little as 4 months. In tennis, well, Novak Djokovic, he's been talking with his fellow ATP player council members, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, as to ways and means of trying to assist lower-ranked players who are facing financial struggles since the shutdown of the tennis. The plight of players ranked outside the top 100 has prompted the game's stakeholders, the ATP, the women, the ITF, and the organisers of the four Grand Slams, to devise plans to provide some assistance. And just this morning, it has been announced that the German state of Rhineland-Palatinate is set to host an exhibition event without the presence of fans from the 1st of May as the professional tennis season remains shut. Apparently Germany has relaxed its COVID-19 lockdown, meaning tennis can resume in 3 of the country's 16 states. Players at the Tennis Point exhibition series will have to wear masks when not in action, and there will only be 3 people on court, the 2 competitors and a chair umpire during the match. The event will be an 8-man field contesting a total of 32 matches over 4 days on indoor clay. None of the players set to be involved are currently ranked in the top 100. The event will be broadcast by the Tennis Channel while scores will be streamed for betting, there we go, through data company Sport Radar. And meanwhile, more on tennis, Australia's Alex Popperin is among the players who will feature in a new independent tennis league to begin next month near the French Riviera. The ultimate tennis showdown is the brainchild of Serena Williams' coach and Alex's father. Matches will begin on the 16th, 17th of May without any fans, with 10 clashes every weekend for 5 weeks, accounting for a total of 50 fixtures throughout May and June. And as we said, where there's a will, there's a way, as the old saying goes. In rugby union, well, the cash-strapped Rugby Australia is set to benefit from a World Rugby Relief Fund. World Rugby announced a relief fund of something like $158 million Australian dollars, comprising advances and loans that will be available for six nations and the people in the Southern Hemisphere Super Rugby. And the package could be worth around $15 million to Rugby Australia. And over the weekend, Australia's Super Rugby and Sevens players agreed to accept a 60% pay cut, which combined with the government's JobKeeper payments will allow Rugby Australia to save 83% on payments between April and September. So another sport suffering the same problems. In the NRL, well, my gee, it's interesting with news about starts, non-starts. Brad Fittler and the Queensland Premier all at loggerheads at the moment, Anastasia Palaszczuk. But the cost restructuring at the NRL headquarters has begun, but I don't think that will save Tom Greenberg his job as CEO. Say no more. Now, the plan for a 28th of May restart, huge boost from New Zealand with the nation's government granting the Warriors an exemption to travel to Australia. They look like they're going to base themselves at Lake Ainsworth at Lennox Head on the New South Wales far north coast. Let's see what happens. Queensland government relaxes its border restrictions. If so, can go ahead. If not, maybe not. And, of course, the Warriors will be committed to returning to Australia. Means that they can, the NRL can field eight games a week, but still a lot to be worked out with the broadcasters. Let's see what happens with that interesting, continuing, ongoing saga. And Warriors Chief Executive Cameron George still awaiting clarity on several issues, including whether families will be able to travel with the players. As we mentioned, those war of words between Brad Fittler and Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, I think the Premier might win that one. In other NRL news, well, Titans import Callum Watkins quit the NRL effective immediately, and the English international has been released from his Gold Coast contract so as he can be with his father, who is sick with coronavirus. That's back in the UK. Watkins starred for the Leeds Rhinos, made 22 test appearances for England since 2012, but only played eight matches for the Titans as he was hampered by a knee reconstruction. And of course, commiserations following the death of former Canberra and Brisbane player Mitch Cronin, and apparently passed away after a training accident at his parents' home in Brisbane on Friday. So our thoughts and sympathies there. And as of tomorrow, the NRL will also consider private equity and loan proposals tabled by American investors, Park Lane. And also up for discussion is a $250 million line of credit brokered by London firm Oakwell Sports Advisory. Gee whiz, pretty cheap rates there, I would presume. Well, listeners, that brings us up to our end of our first segment. We'll certainly have more sports headlines, or do we say sportsless headlines, here on Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. And continuing with our weekly wrap, listeners, here on Monday Sports Roundup on this 20th day of April. Of course, just a quick reminder, don't forget Anzac Day next Saturday, and you can still participate with the Stand 2 campaign at 6 a.m. Stand on your balcony, courtyard, or on your driveway with a candle to take a moment's silence to reflect on Anzac Day. Well, in AFL, the Chief Executive, Gillon McLachlan, says Victoria remains a viable option to host a quarantine hub as the league edges closer to restarting the 2020 season. McLachlan revealed that he has a tentative return date in his mind, hasn't divulged that, and players should be optimistic about the situation with the league to announce a return to play plan by the end of the month. The hub concept, which would see teams split into three groups and isolated in different states to limit their exposure, is increasingly likely to come into play. Western Australia, South Australia and Queensland have been viewed as key states to that strategy, but a drop-off in cases or new cases in Victoria has improved the chances that that state could host a hub. Supercars. Round three of the Supercars E-Series this Wednesday night. It'll be Mount Panorama from 7 p.m. Scotty McLaughlin and Shane Van Gisbergen both have two wins apiece to date. Formula One star Max Verstappen, he was granted a wild card entry for last Wednesday night's second round at Silverstone in Barcelona. He finished second in three out of these four races. In esports, well, we've mentioned this a number of times, listeners, the growth of esports continues. to grow enormously, with professional real-world athletes joining virtual game tournaments of football, auto racing and basketball. Esports tournaments are largely available on game streaming platforms like Twitch, YouTube Gaming, Facebook Gaming and Mixer, and also broadcast on TV channels including ESPN and Fox Sports. And just some interesting data. Online streaming platforms recorded a 43% jump in viewership to nearly 495 million hours in the week starting the 29th of March compared to the same week at the beginning of 2019. And while Twitch, which dominates the market for game streaming, recorded a nearly 60% jump in viewership in March with over 1,300 million hours compared to a year earlier. Believe it or not, Riot Games' League of Legends was the most watched game on Twitch in the first quarter of 2020. In cycling, well, after weeks of holding out hope that the Tour de France would be able to go ahead as planned, despite the coronavirus pandemic, the world's most famous cycling race was finally added to the list of sporting events called off. It may still happen this year, but it's clear the three-week race won't be starting on the 27th of June in the Riviera city of Nice as scheduled. Tennis can go ahead behind the closed doors, but nothing for the Tour de France. In horse racing, well, a second sample confirmed a prohibited substance in the swab taken from alligator blood after he won the Magic Millions three-year-old guineas at the Gold Coast. Trainer David Van Dyke will now face a stewards inquiry at a date to be set. If he is found guilty of presenting horse to race with a prohibited substance, it is likely he would face a fine, but alligator blood would be disqualified from first place in the January 11 race, and the $1.1 million first prize would need to be forfeited. So we're going to see what happens there after the stewards inquiry. In football, the round ball. English Premier League Newcastle owner Mike Ashley is in talks with a London firm as documents show that the Saudi royal family's $667 million Australian takeover is going ahead. Nothing like $660 million for a takeover. Unbelievable. Now, the man behind the move is believed to be Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman, one of the richest men in the world. British billionaire brothers David and Simon Rubin are also involved in the takeover. The Rubin real estate magnates are just worth £18.7 billion and were last year named as the UK's second richest family. Newcastle would then have £200 million to spend on new players if the takeover is completed. Incredible. And as you know, listeners, we've been following the Belarusian soccer league, the football league there, with great interest because it's the only one being played. But the start of the new women's football season has been delayed by fears that players have been exposed to the new coronavirus. But the men's league shows no sign of stopping. The women's league was due to start its season last Thursday, but the Belarus Football Federation said it is now suspended until further notice. The federation added that several players had contact with possible carriers of the coronavirus. And as we said, Belarus is the only country in Europe still playing professional men's soccer games with spectators in the stands. But wait for this one, listeners. Attendance has plummeted in recent weeks, with as many fans as up to 70% staying away. It has nothing to do with the fact that Belarus has recorded 3,700 cases of the coronavirus with 36 deaths. So much for the president's bold, bombastic statements the other day. And just as a matter of interest, listeners, on the weekend, week five, eight games, three teams now on 10 points. So, as we said, competition is continuing there in Belarus. In American football, well, the 58 players who will be taking part in the NFL virtual draft from home this week will be under the watchful eye of the league, with draftees told what they can and cannot wear when they appear on camera during the three-day draft, and it begins on Thursday. Typically, players dress in suits when they meet the commissioner at the podium, but players have been instructed they can't wear any logos that don't belong to the NFL's official partners, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour and New Era, and they can't contain explicit language or racial or ethnic remarks and so on. And, of course, participants, they'll receive a welcome kit that includes items from the league partners, including products from some of their drink suppliers and candy makers. In other words, they can't be serving non-sponsor products at their at-home draft parties. So all that's happening in American football this week, the virtual draft, 58 players, all being told what to wear, what they can do and can't do. Very good sign of professionalism. Well, listeners, we'll go to our second break, and coming up after our break, we'll have a look at what's been happening on this day. All that and more, Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports.